Thank you for taking the time to listen to our weekly service. This is a listener-supported ministry, and we ask that you pray and see what God would have you give. Now let's get to our sermon for today.
The hardest thing I had to do with this sermon was figure a title for it, and I don't think the title did it justice. But in 2 Chronicles 15, verses 1, it says, "And the Spirit of God came upon Azra, the son of Oded, and he went out to Asa and said unto him, Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. If ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you." Now for a long season, Israel had been without the true God, and without a teacher, teaching priest, and without law. But when they, in their trouble, did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in. But great vexation were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And the nations were destroyed of nations, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for the work shall be rewarded. I've mentioned to use the term yo-yo effect. I can't help, but that's all I get as I study the Old Testament, especially after Solomon. As I tried to explain before, that the kingdom split into two, Judah in the north, Israel in the south. And then they had different kings, each of them. And one king would do good, the next, another king did bad. Most of them did bad and didn't follow the Lord. And one thing that stood out to me was the fact that David was a godly man. He made some mistakes, but let's face it, he was a man after God's own heart, and yet some of his kids went bad. There's no guarantee just because you're serving the Lord that your children are going to serve the Lord. They have a mind of themselves, even though they're a product of us. And that's something that stood out a lot to me. Even Solomon and his family. I just got finished reading. As a matter of fact, I'm right now I'm around Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a great king. And I made some stupid mistakes too, but all in all, he was a good king. And God lengthened his life by 15 years because he served him well. But yet, you got this yo-yo effect. Up and down with Israel and all. And this, to me, even though this isn't a conclusion, to me, what I just read is a conclusion of what's happening, this up and down stuff. And we're going to look at it today. And the first point I want to make out is that the Jews forsook God. You will find it, like I said, through the Bible. And in verse 2, the second half, the Lord says this: "The Lord is with you while ye be with him. If ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you." And I believe this is a key for us as Christians to get a hold of. If ye forsake God, he will forsake you. Now, to make sure you understand this, this does not mean you lose your salvation. What this is referring to, God blessing you, taking care of you, watching over you. This is what he was doing with Israel. And you read this through Chronicles, through all these, during the kings and all that, you'll see it time after time. And this kind of, like I said, brings it together here, what I'm speaking about today. And I don't think Christians comprehend this. Sometimes I have too many Christians tell me, and I just had one tell me just this last week and a half, while I've been up at the, and tell me, "Oh, I'm mad because this is happening and this is happening and this is happening and all that." And I said, "Well, where's your relationship with God?" I said, "It doesn't mean that you're not going to go through these, but to me," and I brought up, they may not know it, but I brought up Al and Jonna. Those people have been an inspiration to me personally. Every time he says something to me, like right now they're going through, I don't know the name of the book. He gave me the name, but I forgot it. They're going through a book now together that prepares someone that's going to die, that's saved. And they're reading it together. They're doing everything that you should be doing with the Lord, and you're not complaining. And she even jokes about it, which I've mentioned before. Al told me one time she joked about it in a doctor's office about dying and on where they were going to go to eat and on. And said it was my turn because I'm dying. And she did it laughingly. And yet I know she doesn't want to leave her kids or grandkids or anything else and all, or husband and all. She enjoys what she did, teached over at Bob Jones University and all that. And even Al. I mean, he does get choked up a little bit at times, which I guess I would too if I had to deal with that. But yet, at the same time, their faith is so strong in the Lord while they're going through this. This is the thing we need to understand. We got, no matter what happens in our lives, we got to keep looking towards the Lord. And because of this, a lot of people don't understand why God is not with them. And God says, the moment you pull away from me, and what he means by that is when you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Now, I could spend a whole sermon on what you should be doing, but you know what you should be doing. You've been here long enough to know what you should be doing. With that, anything that God's talked to you about over the years here. And if you're not doing that, God withdraws himself from you. The Holy Spirit, if you look in the scripture, always talks about being like a dove. And the one principle about a dove is very meek. It's hard to walk up to one before they take off. And that's the way the Holy Spirit is. And when you're not doing right, the Holy Spirit withdraws his control from you. If you're close to the Lord, he's controlling your life. It's the same thing here with what we do for the Lord. But if you come in here and leave, and nothing changes in your life from the Word of God. And remember what I said earlier during the Bible study? This is the living Word of God. It should be changing your life, not because of me, but because you're reading and hearing something. You read it yourself, and you go out, and it changes your life. And that's what it should be doing. And God will watch over you, take care of you, keep you from stumbling a lot of times and going into maybe a stupid mistake. But God made it plain that if at any time his people forsook him, God is going to turn his back towards us. Again, not lose our salvation, but he's going to turn us back, and he's not going to. And the next thing you know, we're going to be on our own. And you think going through troubles with God is one thing, but going through troubles without God is a whole other world. Those who are saved do not lose their salvation, as I just said, but they do lose God working in their lives. Now, in verse 5 of our text, it says, in those times there was no peace to him that went out, or to him that came in. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries, and the nations were destroyed of nations and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Now, vexation and vex means to bring trouble or distress. So what God deliberately did was let kings come in and take them. To Babylon, to Syria. He would deal with them. Just like the prodigal son. God is going to deal with us if we're not doing what we should be doing. But he's doing it in love and hope to bring us back to the right place where we need to be. All this trouble that they go through, all because they're not doing right with the Lord. And then notice in verse 3 of our text that Israel had not been with God for a long time. It doesn't say how long, but it says a long time. A lot of times they were gone for years and years at a time. And finally they'd be crying and crying and crying and praying to God, get me back out of this mess, which they brought themselves into. So they were not learning God's word. And if you notice, our scripture here used the term that there was no teacher, and also the law. And the law basically is what we have today as the Bible. Okay? They called it back then the law. So no wonder sometimes why God is not working in our lives. The answer is right here. The moment you stop doing what God asks of us, the moment he withdraws from us. Now, this point number 2 is God's ready to help. And that's the neatest part about God. That's the part that gives me encouragement. And in verse 3 it says, for a long season. Now that's what he said about how long Israel was away from him. Had been without a true God and without the teaching priest and without the law. So they weren't being fed. They weren't studying the word. They weren't doing anything what they were supposed to be doing. Praying, and I mean, they weren't living. What they were doing was serving other gods. And God's mercy is shown here. Because at the end of verse 4 here, it says, and when they did in their trouble, did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. Isn't it wonderful that no matter how bad you are, if you make a 180 degree turn and seriously look for the Lord, he knows your heart. I can't, but he does. And if you make that 180 degree turn, he's right there that moment. You don't have to beg him. He's right there to help. But you got to be sincere about it. God also talks here that when Israel goes back to him, it's got to be with a true heart. You have the word sought here. It means to search or to try to discover. So it's not just that you turned around and said, yeah, I made a mistake. What he's telling here is that you're constantly looking to get right with the Lord. You're looking to grow. You're looking for your faith to grow, to get stronger with the Lord. Just like Israel, we must make an effort, and God will know how much of an effort we really do. I want to read a section from J. Vernon McGee. He puts it this way, and I thought it was pretty good, so I want to read it. It says, my friend, if you mean business with God, God means business with you. I hear people say, oh, I tried to study. I tried to pray. I tried to do this, but I don't get anywhere. My friend, who are you kidding? May I say to you that when you say that, you make God a liar. I have news for you. God is no liar. God says, if you seek me, I am there. If you mean business with God, God will mean business with you. Oh, search your heart, my friend. If you really want to know God's word, then God is ready to meet you anytime you are ready. And that's the serious thing here. See, it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to do it. You can't come in here, write it down, and, oh, God, man, that sermon was good and all that, and you walk out and it didn't do a thing for you. Or you didn't submit to what God spoke to you about. It doesn't do you any good. You have to react to it. You have to search it. Do something about it. And when that happens, what happens? Your faith grows. Your trust in God grows. You see it work in your life. And you get stronger and stronger. So when the next adversity comes, what will happen? You can deal with it a little bit better. And as you keep growing, and it's a lifelong thing. And the sad part about it is, we can be going up and up and up for 10 years, 15 years. And you can stop the next day and start going backwards. And God will turn his face around. It's got to be a constant growth, never stopping. God's always ready to help and to forgive. Third point is God promises blessings. If God tells Asa, as long as he and all those under him look to God, he will bless them and watch over them. Back in verse 4, it says this, but when they were in their trouble, did turn unto the Lord and sought him, and he was found. I can't stress the fact, and I've said this probably a million times, is how bad God wants to bless us and take care of us every day. Walk us through the valley of the shadow of death. That was another thing, a question that was asked. What's your favorite verse? Mine is, to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou wilt fear no evil, for thou art with me. As I mentioned, my name is in the Bible, but it's not a proper name. It's Valley of the Glen. And which means the bottom. And I figure that's where my life is 90% of the time, is at the bottom. So that's why that verse is so special to me, because as I walk through the valley, the bottom, he's with me. Hey, we all are great at the top. Andy? Well, I mean, we're great Christians when we're on the top and being blessed all the time. The problem is when we get down near the bottom. And then what beautiful words come from God we find here in Isaiah 55:6. It says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God he will abundantly pardon." And I like the word. He says he's not just going to be a pardon you. He's going to abundantly pardon us. He wants to bless us overwhelmingly with so many different blessings. And then you come in here, and like I said before, that you'll come in here, and the biggest problem I'll have is to stop you from giving blessings because we're using up so much time. And by the way, a lot of people spoke this morning. That was a real blessing just to hear so many things happening. Because to me, it's an encouragement to me to hear God working in your lives. I know he's working in my life. And like I said, my greatest fear is that he will stop. I'm serious. I fear that. Because I know I'm human and that I could backslide like anybody else can. And I really... I'm scared about that because I love what God's doing in my life. Do I get everything I want? Nope. But I've still been blessed more than I deserve. More promises from God in verse 2. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. If ye seek him, he will be found. As McGee said, God is not a liar. But in 2 Chronicles 15:7 says this, "Be ye strong therefore," and this is the last verse. This is the end of what he says here. If ye do all this, "Be ye strong therefore, let not your hands be weak, for the work shall be rewarded." Now what he's trying to tell you here is, be strong by, in other words, stay in the Word. Stay studying, stay praying. Grow. Be strong in that. Don't let yourself get weak. And if you do that, guess what? You shall be rewarded. That doesn't mean you're going to get everything you ask for. And sometimes you get things you only had in a wish list that you thought you'd never get. Every time I think of growing up, that all I wish is I had a Harley. And I was out of my sight. And at one point in my life, I actually owned 4 of them. It just blows me away. And 2 of the 4 were given to me. And one of them, with the fact that my wife let us take the last bit of money we had in a savings account to buy my first Harley, that was a miracle, the fact she let me do it. Stay strong, and God will bless. Now I'm going to give you a quote here. I don't know who said this or whatever, but I think it's great. It's not enough to begin well, but to continue well. And this is the problem that we have. And the best way I could apply this is dieting. We're all great dieters on Monday. We begin well, and by Tuesday and Wednesday, we're off. And then following Sunday, I'm dieting starting tomorrow. I say that because that's what I do. I'm going to do it tomorrow. And then Tuesday and Wednesday, I'm back where I'm at. We begin well, but we don't continue well. And God's saying here, don't just get here, hear something, and walk out and forget about everything decision you need to be make. Begin well, and then walk out and continue well with the Lord. Follow through what God is teaching you, what God has taught you. And there, you know many things God's taught you, not just today, through the past, that you need to be doing that you're not doing. And the end result will be reward. Our scripture for today tells us that Israel was away from God for a long time. And you know what a blessing was for them to be away? And I do know other times they were away for years. I mean, some of them was quite a long time. Even if it's a year, that's a long time, but it was years. And yet God was always ready to forgive and forget the moment they turned around with the proper heart, seeking God's forgiveness and start all over again. And God's there every moment. And to me, that's a tremendous blessing to know my God will forgive me no matter what I've done as I come back to Him as a Christian. What it takes for God to work in our lives: number one, seek Him. Number two, learn the Bible. Do this with love, believing in, loving in, and obeying Him. 2 Chronicles 26:5 says this: If he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding of visions of God, and here's the important part, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. As long as you live for God and you truly look for Him, He will make your way prosperous. Take that, put that on your refrigerator, and read that second part of that verse all the time when you're going through problems. And say, I'm going to keep reading my Bible. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep trusting in God even though everything looks like it's going downhill. Because we have a God that will forgive and forget if we truly have a heart that's truly looking to Him. And that's the key. Are we truly looking to Him? See, you can fool me part of the time, but you can't fool God all the time. Let's pray.
We pray that we have been a blessing to you. For further assistance, call us at 864-270-1472 anytime. Send email to info@stlmm.org or visit our website at www.stlmm.org. Like any ministry, it costs money to operate. Please consider supporting this ministry as God leads you with your prayers and your financial gifts by going to www.stlmm.org and clicking on donations.